Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 1. This chapter is entitled Talks Between Narada and King Pachinibarhi. Pachinibarhi Uvacha. Bhagavamste vachosma bir nasamyag avagamyate kavayastad vigyananti natvayam karma mohita. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. King Pachinibarhi replied, "My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Paranjana. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand, but for us who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult." Please repeat. King Pachinibarhi said, "My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Paranjana. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand. But for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purpose of your story is very difficult." Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 7.13, Lord Krishna says, Tribir gunamayar bahavar ebi sarvamidam jagat mohita nabhajanati mamebhya paramam vayam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Generally, people are enchanted by the three modes of material nature, and therefore practically unable to understand that behind all the materialistic activities and the cosmic manifestation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Generally, when people are engaged in sinful or pious activities, they are not perfect in knowledge of devotional service. The allegorical story narrated by Narada Muni to King Barhisman is especially meant to engage conditioned souls in devotional service. The entire story, narrated allegorically, is easily understood by a person in devotional service. But those who are engaged not in devotional service, but in sense gratification, cannot completely understand it. That is admitted by King Barisman. This 29th chapter describes that by too much attachment for women, one becomes a woman in the next life. But a person who associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or is representative becomes free from all material attachments and is thus liberated. Translation once again. King Pachinibarhi replied, "My dear Lord, we could not appreciate completely the purport of your allegorical story of King Paranjana. Actually, those who are perfect in spiritual knowledge can understand. But for us, who are overly attached to fruitive activities, to realize the purport of your story is very difficult." These three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, are like obstacles towards seeing things as they are. Just like if you go to an intersection in a city, you have a red light, you have a green light, and you have a yellow light. Each light represents a certain function. Of course, sometimes we see in the cities in India, red light doesn't mean anything. You just keep going. That means watch out. But generally, when there is this green light, there's life. One can proceed forward. But like the old, like the yellow light refers to like old age. That, oh, things are going to decay. The teeth are wobbling. You have to figure out how to get up. And then ultimately, the red light comes, death. Within these changes of lights, there's always a competition for supremacy of the different modes of material nature. Now, King Bharatman here is revealing his mind to Narada Muni. And he's saying that, well, for you sadhus, who are devoted, fully devoted to the Supreme, this allegorical story is very easy to understand. But for those of us who are engaged in material sense gratification, oh, it's very difficult. That there's a body, there's nine gates, and there's so many allurements within these fields of activity. There's so much attachment. And then attachment towards the opposite, because the Shastra is saying here, if you're attached to one form, this Shastra is saying female form, then your next form will be female. Same if you're attached to the male form. Kopalu Brahmachari, yes, I'm the best. Then your next birth. You know, that ultimately, if you're attached to that type of form, then you'll get that form, male form, female form. So that's the sense of humor of the Supreme. Actually, we can look in the mirror and see the sense of humor of the Supreme. There's always, look, some detail. But the problem is when we identify with these mundane attractions, because there's nothing wrong with being attracted to these different forms, but we see them in connection with Krishna and relationship to Krishna. Not in such a way that maya sukhaya param uvido vimudha, we become bewildered by various attachments. So in this way, this verse is showing very clearly that there is a problem for the materialist. Jai ho, shishi gonitai, Krishna balaram, shishi radhasama sundar ki jai. That there is a problem when we contemplate spiritual topics with material vision. Because what happens in this case is that because our diet dealing with the modes of material nature is how to interact, or shall we say, how to consort with the modes of material nature. And what happens when one consorts while contemplating the objects, the sense, attachment, lust, anger, all these things, you lose your intelligence. You lose your brains. So here the king is honestly saying it's hard for persons like me to understand. Now this is, it's very easy to perceive that, okay, a materialist who is actually thinking that ahankara vimudatma, everything is mine, everything is being progressing according to my strength, one is envious of the Supreme, so it's not possibility to surrender lovingly to the Supreme. But for the devotee on the royal roads of spiritual life, there can be also dangers. Even though we have the externals of wearing cloth like this and tilak, etc., there can be dangers in the sense of trying to be too attached to materialistic things or attached to inanimate material existence. We have our cell phones, we have our properties, we have these things, we have identifications, oh, I'm sannyasi, oh, I'm a guru, I'm grihastha, I'm a vanaprastha. These are external considerations. That is why it's very important for us to see, when we view the different descriptions in the Bhagavatam about the Supreme and his devotees, and how these devotees undergo various tests, we want to not just place the Bhavacham on an altar of just worship at a distance. We want to read the Bhavacham, these verses, in such a way that how we can apply these teachings in our life. And then you come to a platform, what Srila Prabhupada mystically has done, is that he has brought his dependence into the topmost shower of purification through distribution of transcendental knowledge. That distribution comes in many different forms. It can come through the form of a smile, and through the form of inviting a devotee to the temple, through the form of distribution, through the form of the most powerful media to distributing transcendental knowledge is through the holy names, Nam Prabhu. So we're very safely situated to avoid becoming a materialistically minded devotee when we take shelter of the process of somehow or another distributing Krishna in one shape, form, or another. Then when you're given your cell phones and your computers and you're given various wealth, this is all used for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Now, there's two qualities that various these qualities of detachment and attachment. When we learn as practicing devotees to utilize these two fields of attachment and detachment in a proper light, then we can come to the topmost platform of how to use everything in Krishna's service. Because what happens is, as the Lord describes in 260, that gatato api kunteya purushasya vipashitaha, that this process, this quality of the mind, it's very difficult to control. But ultimately, when we come in tune with understanding how indriyani samyami, that how these senses, even though they be uncontrolled, that alti haranti prasabam mana, that actually they can be fully controlled. So the danger is, because of mind and the force of passion, that what happens is it can even overwhelm someone who is trying to control the senses, trying to have discrimination. Now Narada Muni, in the fourth canto, we're going to read this verse pretty soon, 31st chapter, 20th verse. He speaks about this principle, a very mystical principle, an open secret, about how, if a devotee is practicing the spiritual path and slips, gets knocked down, because while contemplating the opposite sense, developing attachment, all these things can develop. But even for a devotee who may have difficulty, that actually, if the desire of the living entity is to try and surrender to the Supreme, how the devotee responds, that devotee, through purified devotional service, can even control the Supreme. And this verse is right in here, actually. This is chapter 31, and text 20. Apahata sakaleshanat malatmani aviratam edita bhavan pahotaha nija jana vasha garvam atmano yan na sarati chidravad akshara satam hi. Being completely cleansed of all material desires, the devotees are freed from all mental contamination. Thus, they can always think of the Lord constantly and address Him very feelingly. The Supreme Personality Godhead, knowing Himself to be controlled by His devotees, does not leave them for a second. Just as the sky overhead never becomes invisible. So here, Narada Muni is speaking to the Prachetas, who have just finished 1,000 years of Grihastha activity, and they have received blessings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they're receiving blessings through Narada Muni, and giving directions of how to come fully to the transcendental platform. They perform their tapasya. Now they are benefiting. Srila Prabhupada said, to work now and then samadhi later. So in this way, we can see that a mystical event is here. According to the consciousness of a devotee, even if there is difficulty, apich sudaracharo bhajatam ananyabha, that one is rightly situated if you simply pick up the path of devotional activity once again. This is the power of bhakti. So that's a consolation. Because oftentimes, as we approach Krishna consciousness, we become affected by an institutional approach. In other words, we become attached by various externals. Oh, I've been a brahmacharya for so many years, I cannot maintain brahmacharya. Or I've been a grihastha for so many years and I'm having so much difficulty. Why didn't I stay brahmachari? All these things. We become attached to so many externals, but we forget that these external affairs in contact with bhakti, in contact with devotion, are simply external affairs. The process of Krishna consciousness, by adding Krishna, remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, one is guaranteed success, one is guaranteed complete perfection. Srila Prabhupada in Hyderabad, he was sitting underneath a tree, and Srila Prabhupada slapped his leg, and he goes, I am teaching you. Even though you may be preaching in the field of Maya, I am training you how to be aloof. See, what does this mean? A devotee, under the shelter of a pure devotee in parampara, is giving his association to others, not taking association. As I said earlier, Prabhupada's great genius was his platform of distribution. Having your inner sentiments within and making sense without. So this is Prabhupada's great contribution to the parampara, for the devotees to develop one's inner sentiments. Even Prabhupada said in one letter that the purpose of the ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to bring its members into the pleasure, the sublime pleasure dance of Radha and Krishna. So the book distribution, the preaching, has a very internal development. Because as you distribute, there's a transformation of consciousness. There's a transformation of heart. And in this way, you may have some problems, as we're describing here. But by parambrisvanavartate, the higher taste, you give up the lower taste. You give up the lower taste of feeling yourself incompetent. It's another form of maya. That, oh, Prabhu, I'm so fallen. Proverbs once addressed with this, you're not the most anything. You simply chant Hare Krishna. And as we're hearing this morning, Prabhupada said, not Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is part of the distribution. Because when one is chanting the holy names, one's acting in a capacity of being enjoyed by the Supreme, not to enjoy separately. So the distribution process is a, shall we say, an agreement with the Lord, an acknowledgement of the Lord to give Krishna in some way, shape, or form. So we each have different abilities. Some are artists. Some can speak very nicely. Others are very musical. So all these talents, just like we see yesterday, there was one request on the altar, Radha Shyam. We need an artist. Is any artist back there? And one devotee said, yes, I know something. So in this way, it becomes an exciting experience. Like when I walked into the Pujari room, first time I've seen this, you had seven persons just working on Radha Shyam's effulgences. And every year, everything increasing. So the Supreme Lord, as He said to one pujari in Nidwarka, one Mataji, she said, "Today I dress mini Dwarka dish." And Prabhupada said, "No, no. They are dressing themselves through you." One time Srila Prabhupada was asked that, now the movement's growing so big, Prabhupada, and we're not able to get so much of your association. So what to do? Because it's more difficult in this way. And then Prabhupada says, when I do worship the deity, I may need some assistance to hold with the ghee lamp. So in other words, we have an international society, so we need so many members. I can only do so much. I am so small. Of course, Prabhupada was great, so tall. But this is a wonder. And everyone is seen like in it, like puppets, you know, puppet ring, you know, like a, that there's someone moving the puppets here and there, and some very expert makes it very lifelike. So in this way, the spiritual master is utilizing his dependents like a transcendental puppeteer. Of course, he's being controlled by the parampara, who's being controlled by the supreme. Sometimes the spiritual master changes his idea, changes his plan in spreading Krishna consciousness. And we may ask, why is that? Because Krishna changes his mind. So ultimately, through parampara, that's a reflection of the supreme. Let us push Krishna consciousness in this way and that way. So as we apply ourselves, we become transcendental to the modes of material nature, as we see in this verse, that actually we can learn that this principle that even though I may be weak, if I follow the process, I'll develop great strength. Even in the Uttarakhanda, the Ramayana, there is a description about how Maya has such formidable army, and she's located in various areas like lust, greed, avarice, power. And in the same verse describes that what ascetic has not come under this influence at one time or another. The example can be given of Lord Brahma performing great tapasya, such an empowered servant of the Supreme, but he became attracted to his very own daughter Sarasvati. And after that, Lord Brahma, seeing some contamination, he shed that body and entered another body. Or for example, Lord Shiva, who became attracted to Mohini Murti. In this way, there can be difficulty in any field of service, but what is our platform? What is our response when there's a difficulty? Because in that response, you know, one of my favorite examples is Hanuman and the spider. The spider is pushing grains of sand, and Hanuman's throwing boulders. And so Hanuman's thinking, "Move aside, little guy." But Ram goes, "No, I see you both equally." So there's a consolation for those of us who may be strugglers, but sincere strugglers, that ultimately I want to surrender to you, my Lord. I want to develop my relationship with you. Please. You see, what does a mother do when a child begins to turn over, or a child may slip and fall? The mother helps the child. Actually, the mother is enchanted. And we even see in the baby pastimes that where the gopis and Mother Yashoda would be so immersed in just the smile of little baby Krishna, and always attentive towards his every need. Is he hungry? Or if he goes to the forest, oh no, he's going to hurt his feet on the thorns in the forest. So Mother Yashoda once asked Krishna, "Wear some shoes when you go to the forest." And then Krishna countered, "Okay, I'll do that. But you must make shoes for all my cows, Anantakoti." So in this way, the Lord, his pastimes are so attractive. But in our field, because we're still dealing with the modes, the arena with these modes of material nature, there's the adjustments of the lighting systems. There's old age, it's approaching. And soon death will come. Then we are being tested in various ways. And what we can learn from is what's described in this verse. Apahata sakalasha manmalatmani. That when the devotee gives up these three stages of attachment to this world, then now you've entered the inner calm of the storm of the material field. You've entered into a plateau of remembrance and service to the Supreme Lord. And in that position, as is described here, I come and I protect my devotee. This is Narada is giving. This is the wonderful mystery Narada is sharing with the Prachetas, how that actually you can, how you respond to Krishna's test, actually control God. We worship the devotee to approach the Supreme, and Krishna becomes controlled by his pure devotee. This is why we worship the pure devotee. We imbibe their qualities, and in this way they can offer us blessings for spiritual advancement. Okay, so this is a description here. King Bhairishman is in anxiety. How am I going to understand this allegory? How am I going to perceive this in a proper way? But you're a devotee. You could understand very, very clearly. Another example that we see in the Mahabharata, how persons of different orientation saw differently. Now before the battle of Kurukshetra, there was Duryodhan and Arjuna, and they approached Lord Krishna because they wanted the Lord's help during the battle. So then Duryodhana came, and Arjuna, as a humble devotee, allowed Duryodhan to ask Lord Krishna first. And Lord Krishna looked at Duryodhan. Is this okay? He asked me first, testing Arjuna. And Arjuna goes, Dasos me. Of course, yes, my Lord. So then, Krishna said, okay, there's two features I have. I have my Narayan Kavach army, very powerful, undefeatable in battle. You can have that army, or you can have me, but there's a clause. I will not fight. I will not pick up a weapon. Of course, he broke his promise. That was Bhishma's, but he made this vow, I will not fight, I will not carry a weapon. So then, Duryodhan, well, I'm going to take the winner. I'm going to go for the army. Give me the goods. In this way, and Krishna goes to Arjuna, is that all right, Arjuna? To take everything like that? And Arjuna goes, no, I only want you. But I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to actually take care of the horses. My Lord, Rakhe Krishna, he didn't say this, but this is the verse. Rakhe Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakhe Kri. If you're on our side, no one can defeat us. But the verse goes, Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. Krishna wants to save you, no one can harm you. So Arjuna had full faith in the Supreme, because he was a devotee of the Lord, a Matpara devotee of the Lord. I have full faith that we will be victorious. And Duryodhan was thinking, ha ha ha, such a small army they have, like a measly small, like if you look at a small country like Israel and you compare the armies of the world, that's what the Pandas were up against the Kauravas as far as size. So he's thinking, nothing. Yeah, I'm one. And he walks out. This is the nature of a materialistically minded person. Even Krishna. Krishna's Trubhagavan Swam, the original supreme personality of Godhead, was right before him physically. He did not see. He simply saw a coward boy, a debauchee, a partial kshatriya. This is the vision of a materialistic personality. And he even tried to have Krishna arrested in his court when the Lord came for peace. And Duryodhana was thinking, yes, let's arrest him. now with Krishna out of the picture, we're definitely going to win. So in this way, this is the difference of vision. So this is why when we read this part of the Bhagavatam, again, I said, don't just keep it on the altar, how it applies to materialists, but how does it apply to us as materialistically minded devotees? That, are we after the sweetmeats? Are we thinking right now, when's the prasad? Oh, I'm so hungry. Are we thinking, let me get the maha? Of course, nothing wrong with that. But if we're thinking in terms of materialistic consciousness, let me get what's good for me, and we're not thinking of the overall, the deeper picture of how we can remember, how we can surrender to the Supreme Lord, then we can become a little wooden-headed, become a little mechanical, see things in a materialistic manner in terms of dollars and cents, in terms of what's it in for me. And there's one, the Brijvasis have this one saying about if you go on Govardhan Prikrama, Giri Govardhan, a form of Giriraj, will follow that personality. Now, if a devotee, a sakama, one who's materialistic oriented, because many people go, give me a nice wife, I want to help my business be more successful, etc. Giriraj will grant these things. But for a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi who's praying, please, my Lord, please engage me in your service, please help me, please give me strength, Giriraj will follow that person in his various fields of activity and give a sense of personalism and attraction to Krishna consciousness. So as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. By studying the Lord in his intimate pastimes, we want to, from our position, whether it is a strong position, whether it is a weak position, whether it is a struggling position, we simply want to respond favorably to the tests that are sent our way. Because on the topmost platform, we see how God comes as a human-like, human being, like similar to human being form. He likes to walk with his devotees. He likes to talk with his devotees. He likes to wrestle with his devotees. He likes to eat with his devotees. He likes to be chastised by his devotees. This is specifically the Brijvasis. So in this way, the Lord is so sweet in his pastimes. So then we want to be a little flexible in our relation with the Supreme and our meditation with the Supreme. Because we see each situation as a step forward to become dear to the Lord. Now, there's one pastime where Narada Muni saw this gopi on the bank of the Jamuna, and she was in meditation. And she was sitting like a Ashtanga yogi, sitting right there, meditating. And Narada Muni's going, what's this? Why is this gopi meditating in this way? Ultimately, if she's a gopi, that means Krishna is sitting within her heart at all times. So finally she got up and said, and Narada Muni asked her, my dear gopi, your attachment is to Lord Krishna. What what are you meditating on? And she goes, I am meditating on the Brahmananda, because this will help remove various obstacles in your life. What? A gopi meditating on the impersonal Brahman? Because the obstacle in my life, I'm trying to get Krishna out of my heart. I'm trying to get him out. Why? Because Krishna's in the heart of his dear devotees, the devotee goes crazy. And the attraction is too strong. So she's praying for Krishna, get out, jow, jow, leave me. Narada Muni, when he heard this, he goes, oh, I must leave this place. Because he, a very high elevated devotee, and he was thinking in terms, if someone's in meditation, then ultimately it should be that meditation on Krishna, should be natural. But here, the topmost devotee of the Lord, the topmost dependent, is meditating, Krishna, leave me, leave me. So in this way, of course, this is just an exhibition of the highest love. Because here, King Bhairisman is saying, look, I'm at a certain level. I can't make sense of this allegory, Narada Muni. And then Narada Muni is on a whole other level where he's thinking in terms of judging by externals. Gopi means Krishna's in the heart. And this gopi is praying for Krishna to leave. What a high elevated position of complete love. That even though Krishna is asked to leave the heart, he will never leave the heart of such a devotee. Bhagavan, go, go! Now it's interesting to note, throughout history, sages performing tapasya for millions of years, they are putting so much energy to actually remember to invite Krishna into their heart. But here the topmost, please Krishna, go, go! So in this way, this is just one facet of one's relationship with the Supreme. That Krishna in these dealings, where we become, shall we say, a little maybe materialistically involved, then Krishna, yasya namanugunami, harastane, shananam shanai, that to show my devotee's special mercy, I take things away. Now even Krishna looked at Nanda Baba. Nanda Baba had so much wealth, so many cows, so much gold, so much opulences. So then Krishna was thinking, this is not good. My father has so much wealth like this. Because anyways, someone who always remembers me will get Lakshmi automatically. So then Krishna spoke to his father, what are you wasting your money worshipping this Indra? You simply worship Giri Govardhan. And in this way, Krishna took so much cash from Nanda Baba to a glorification of Giri Govardhan. So Krishna makes this humble, arrangement with his very own father. Of course, Yad Yad Atarati Shrestha, for the devotee or exalted personality in relation to the Lord, he will teach by example. It's not that Nanda Baba was being affected by the wealth, but Krishna wanted to increase his attachment to him. So then he manifests in the form of Giriraj, and in this way was able to serve the Brijvasis in so many different capacities. So this is a problem that we develop. We develop an attachment towards material identification, towards material acquisition. And then we become attached towards the externals. And we begin to not see one another. Srila Prabhupada said, look to your right, look to your left. You never know who's sitting next to you. Could be Narada Muni. You never know. Of course, we see, even as the Bhagavad Gita, Samaha Masadur Labha, that actually a devotee's great soul. And even for those who are into astrology, we see that many times devotees' previous births has similarity, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you do not finish the process of devotional culture, then you will be born in a family of rich aristocracy. So the fact that, for example, those who are born in the Dham, it's a very elevated birth. And actually for those who have the heart of distribution of the Dham, who travel to various parts of the world as been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, are in a very fortunate position to, even though they're physically not here, to realize the glories of the Dham in an internal sense. So we want to be a little careful of the dangers on the royal roads. Now you remember when Narada Muni was asked by his father, Lord Brahma. He wanted Narada not to be a brahmachari, to become a progenitor. And Narada replied to his father, no. Hey, dusto, oh evil-minded one, how can you ask me to do this type of service. And as a result of this, there was a discussion where Brahma cursed Narada to receive a body. His name was Upavarna, where he would have so many wives. And then and Narada cursed Lord Brahma, "Well, you'll not be worshipped in any temple." So in this way, the Lord makes a range, just like we see in Jai and Vijay, and how the four Kumaras curse Jai and Vijay to enhance the Lord's pastimes. But ultimately, the Lord likes to use his devotees for his leelas. And in this way, Narada played the veena as Upavarna. Very melodious singer, very attractive. So one time he was outside Brahmalok, and he was playing his veena, and there was like a traffic jam, a traffic jam in the outside Brahmalok. Sometimes we see the getting down Aloy Bazaar takes about an hour, you know, a big traffic jam. Everyone was listening to Narada Muni. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful music. So then, at that time, there was a big festival on Brahmalok, and Upavarna was invited by Lord Brahma, his father, to come and play. And what happened was that at that time there was all the demigods, and Lord Shiva was there. And there was various kirtans about the Rasa Leela pastimes. So then Lord Shiva asked Upavarna to sing a song about the Lord's Rasa Leela. And what happened was, because remember, this verse is talking about jivas, or we're speaking mostly about devotees who are in different levels of sensitivity, different levels of consciousness, that Upavarna, because of his identification, his verse is also warning against too much identification with the opposites, that during this kirtan, during this lila, he began to meditate on his wives. And Lord Shiva immediately picked up on that. Because through transcendental sound, one can perceive the purity of that shabda, that sound vibration. And Lord Shiva became very offended. "How is this? You're glorifying the Supreme and you're thinking about something material." And Lord Shiva got very angry. He was about to kill him. There was like a great, there was a big upheaval in the whole pastime there. And then Lord Brahma, "Okay, wait, hold on, before things got out of hand." He made it very clear that actually this is the history. This is actually Narada Muni. And due to our argument, he took birth as Upavarna. And so in this way, Lord Brahma stopped an undesirable situation from arising. So it doesn't matter what level we are on. We're just like the last time I mentioned how Narada Muni was corrected by thinking himself as the best brahmachari, having conquered over the Cupid and having been glorified by Indra, and even reminded by Lord Shiva, "Narada Muni, you have to be conscientious. Do not become attached. We're not the body. Any glorification, any empowerment doesn't belong to you." And Narada Muni accepted, "I've heard the philosophy." And then when he approached Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu is simply making it very clear, how come you're such a good brahmachari, but why is this pride there? You must remember, nothing can be done without my mercy. And then all of a sudden, Narada Muni locked back, "Aham brahmasmi ne dasosmi," that I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant. So for materialists to understand transcendental knowledge, we have to at least apply the beginning steps in devotional service. And for a devotee of the Lord who may be materialistically minded, then the tests will come. And in order to progress to a further level, in order to purchase the Supreme, to actually become dear to the Supreme, We have to respond to our difficulties. We have to respond to our temporary detours. I was speaking with one college professor about the principle of chanting. He's a very, very academic person, and asking very technical aspects about the Maha Mantra, about the chanting and the timing and this and that. And so I was basically saying, in a nutshell, the most important feature of chanting is simply to hear the mantra. As Prabhupada was saying this morning, the entire mantra, not the mixed mantra, but the entire mantra, to hear the mantra. Because ultimately, chanting Hare Krishna or spiritual process is a descending process. The grace comes from above. You are speaking of an ascending process on your own strength. The beauty of Krishna consciousness, the grace comes from above, from the Supreme in a natural sense, if we are willing recipients in service to the Lord. So even if one has a fall down or difficulty, if you are willing recipient to get back up, to actually try again, then this is the topmost platform for someone who is clearing oneself. And as the Lord says in Shikshasakam, that my dear Lord, somehow or another I have found this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as an atom, sitaduli, at your lotus feet. So all these situations that come across our life is a perfect design to help us progress. But don't see the design in terms of technique, that on my own strength I'll make advancement, on my own ability. We think in terms of I'll. No. Devotee thinks in terms of wheel. This is the problem for King Barisman here. He's thinking in terms of I'll. How can I control my senses? How can I see this body as a field of just nine gates? How can I become free from material identification? But the process is descending. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give intelligence. I give ability. Everything's coming from me. Getting back to my example, when the mother sees a child slip and fall, the mother becomes purchased by helping the child. But if we maintain attachments to materialistic formulas, like every day we say the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. This is a different parameter we're speaking about, that we may make mistakes, but we're not performing pop on the basis, on the strength of the Supreme. We're actually basing our cure, our revival, our ability on the basis of the Supreme. So in this way, it is easy to forget. There was one preacher named Mahatma from Dallas, Texas, and recently I was sent one email. He describes, I think it's about 32 things when you're giving a Bhagavatam class, and he says not to do. And he says, these are things that I have done or I have seen in other devotees. And he names many different things about the communication in terms of being more or less a medium. It's very, very wonderful that a devotee is always looking how to refine their presentation. So Narada Muni, he had some abhiman there, he made a mistake, and then Lord Vishnu clarified him, made things very clear. Or he began, his approach to his father was maybe a little materially motivated, that I'm going to stay brahmachari, I'm going to stay simple. But at the same time, his father, he cursed him, and so he had to go through this experience. In this way, there's various avenues that we go through, different forms of purification, to come to an understanding of how we can serve Krishna favorably, how we can understand how to make spiritual advancement, how we can be free from inanimate material existence, and how we can see every situation, though it may be bad, as good. And I'll close with this one story. in the Suganda Kanda, where Narada Muni, where Hanuman was on a mission to go to Lanka, and the demigods had sent this demon named Suras, and she's a very powerful demon, very powerful, and she's going, "I'm going to eat you, Hanuman." And then Hanuman goes, "Okay, well, wait a minute. You can come eat me, but I have service to Lord Ram." Hanuman's thinking like this. "You can eat me later." "No, no, no. I'm going to eat you." Then Hanuman goes, "Okay, eat me." And he expands his form to like 4 yojanas, 12 kilometers. And then she expands her form to like 192 kilometers. And then finally 100 yojanas, the size of the sea. And Hanuman kept expanding. And he was thinking, "How much... I'm wasting time. How much time can I spend with this demon actually expanding?" So then he became like a little small atom and went into her mouth, because she got the benediction. Anyone who goes into her mouth will be killed. And he came out her ear. So then, because that was a boon given to her by the demigods, and then she says, "Acha, you're very intelligent, Hanuman. You have fulfilled the boon given to me, everyone. And that, but you're very intelligent. I can see your power. You'll be very successful in your mission going to Lanka." Because the demigods sent her to test Hanuman. Did he have what it takes to go to Lanka? Because none of the demigods could go there because of the power of Hanuman. So in this way, the different tests are given to us to test our attitude and our approach to Krishna's service. So have heart in your service. Don't think in terms of external supports, in terms of how long you've been wearing this color, that color, or how long you've been, what kind of position, whether you're manager or guru, whether you're a congregational member. These positions are all external. Just remember that you add Krishna on your plate of service, and in all situations, reciprocate with the Lord in a favorable fashion, and you'll make rapid advancement and not be wounded by the modes of material nature or by the interaction with the modes of material nature. Because actually, in Krishna consciousness, all wounds are self-inflicted. That we begin to identify with the mind. Mind is matter. And by surrendering to the Supreme Lord, by accepting the process, adding the process, then we will come to the transcendental position and also help others do the same. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes. Could you start your question again so people can hear? Thank you.
Nice class which you gave. I appreciate this. Lord Chaitanya was talking to one devotee, I believe it was Satyaraj Khan, and he was saying that the chanting of the holy name gives the benefit of ninefold the Navada Bhakti. So how to understand? We can say Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran, but beyond that, how Atma Nivedan Sakhyam is included in chanting the holy name?
This field, we see natural events happening in this world. One is born, one becomes a baby, one grows, one goes to school, one gets clothes, one gets educated. It's a natural process. Whether it's watching a flower grow in the ground, the seed goes in the ground, then it enters into the stem, grows, there's petals. These are all natural arrangements. One arrangement comes after another. Now the perfection, the zenith arrangement in this material world, the purpose of the material world is to bring the jiva, to purify the jiva to a state of consciousness of eternal service to the Supreme. That's the material world in a nutshell. To bring the jiva in contact with eternal service and to regain, establish an original relationship which is eternal in the service of the Lord. So there's different levels of spirituality. Now you describe the different nine processes of purification and how the holy name, everything is there in the Nam. Nam Prabhu. Everything is there in the Nam. That because the Nam is a purification of heart, so then Ado, Shraddha, that actually by chanting the Nam, there's the purification of faith, of consciousness. So then you place faith in a certain arena of personalities. You leave the materialistically minded persons who are trying to understanding how to enjoy matter, and you leave the field of trying to enjoy the Supreme. That's what a materialist does. They're trying to enjoy God. To the devotional camp of trying to be enjoyed by God. Then Tata Sadur, that in order to develop further faith, Krishna comes out with the outer manifestation of Antaryami, the Lord in the heart, as a pure devotee. A pure devotee can give you direction because you cannot see, you cannot talk with a deity at this present level. But through the pure devotee, then we're in contact. We come in contact with the process, principal instructions coming from the guru. The principal instructions in terms of chanting and the detailed instructions that are applied to us as individuals, as artists, as non-artists, as family members, as renunciates, what have you. So then, in that way, then the process that actually, that through that sadhu sangha, then comes the devotee develops the appreciations for a certain field of sangha. And then when that field, the anarta, this wonderful positive field of service, then these unwanted things begin to leave the heart. Then, as I said earlier, you develop an attachment. You have a proper understanding towards attachment and detachment. Asakti. A proper perception that actually attachment to becoming a servant, an attachment to everything in relationship towards service of the Lord, and detachment towards those things that move you away. You see, the Nam is doing everything here. The Nam is purifying your consciousness, and naturally, as a flower, as a tree grows from the ground, or the child grows, it's a natural concomitant reality. By watering, taking the Nam and watering your hearing the Nam, then all of a sudden you begin to enter into a more spontaneous approach of seeing how the grace comes from above. You leave the field of technique. You see, technique is something which is there, but it's complementary. When I say technique, the process of vaidhi, following rules and regulation, these are all aspects which help us become more sensitive to the Nam, so then the Nam can nourish us through these different levels. Then a sakti develops. Then one actually comes to the platform of bhav, and then one comes to the platform of prem. It's all a natural unfolding. But you must maintain the watering process. We must maintain a platform of not putting water on the fire of service, making offenses, offending the Dham, offending the devotees, offending the Nam. Prabhupada emphasized the principle of adding Krishna. That's why it's very difficult. Like I was speaking to this professor, and he admitted that actually I'm approaching, because he'd been chanting Hare Krishna for many years. And he was been absorbed himself in the technique of chanting Hare Krishna. The technique aspect. But I was trying to remind him that why not do the same chanting? Because Prabhupada was saying, just for example, Prabhupada made an example this morning of the devotees chanting, shnam shnam, rik rik shnam, wah, 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 wah. That this chanting is, he said, no, chant very Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This proper watering, this is the process. And he said, either silently, best out loud, either way, but at least attentively. Then when you see that Krishna is bringing you to these different levels, see, Krishna's doing everything. Again, we've given up the concept, the illusion of technique, that on my strength, on my ability. Of course, for the yogi, you know, the Astanga yogi, everything is given by Krishna himself. But the problem is consciousness. You don't acknowledge that Krishna's doing everything. It's just like oftentimes one good question to ask someone who's trying to promote impersonalism. One good question to ask someone who's trying to, you know, advocate that actually, no, there is no conscious, there's consciousness, but there's no personality. You can ask that person, do you have a difficulty in relationships, personally? In relation, because so what happens is, due to our mechanical, due our sandbox perspective, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, that we begin to think everyone thinks the way we do. So actually the big truth, that there is no Supreme, because I'm frustrated in my materialistic relationships. So the true yogi, the bhakti yogi, learns to give up that conception of identification, of trying to figure things out. I remember Ayendra Prabhu once saying, when a devotee is asking a very technical question, this means you just want to be Krishna still. You want to understand in a technical way. But if you understand in terms of a way of how can I serve, becoming a willing recipient in the service to the Supreme, submission, which comes in the Nam Seva, which comes in understanding through the nine levels of devotional activity, it's all being done by the Supreme, that we are simply trying to become willing recipients. When we learn that open secret, then we'll make spiritual progression. Then we'll see, we'll be able to communicate within our society to encourage a loving relation in terms of bhav, in terms of ras, in terms of prem. Not in terms of externals, not in terms of dollars and cents, not in terms of a corporate ISKCON, but in terms of an ISKCON, which is a dynamic society of accommodation. Because that is what Radharani's, she's the empress of accommodation. So as we represent the communication work, we want to accommodate others with this most essential point of a personal surrender. So give up that, I'm not saying you, but the principle, giving up the concept of technique and simply think not in terms of my will, but thy will be done. Any other questions, comments? Yes, sorry. Thank you. Grantaraj Sri Mad Bhavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.